Morning. Seems like everywhere I go anymore, I'm the visitor. But thanks to Christ Church, everywhere I go, I'm home, and that's a great blessing. Life, it seems, has very much to do with our perspective. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. Our perspective, our priorities. I should probably preface this, since I am still the visitor, that by saying that I have written this talk a while ago, so it is not directed at anyone in particular. If it fits, you fit it to you however much you feel that you need to. Also, I talk a lot about children and raising children here, not because I have all the answers or that I have any answers, but because these problems that I've seen in my life are rooted in my childhood and the people that I came across, the ideas that were portrayed to me. So this morning I'd like to talk about society's impositions upon us as Christians. As human beings, we are unfortunately molded by our environments. Our duty, as commanded by Christ, is to be in the world, letting our light shine. Yet we are also told in James, the first chapter, to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. How does one go about doing such a thing? You can't go out in the mud and work and not get dirty. It just can't happen. Or can it? It is a fact that when we hear a certain type of language, often we are more apt to use it ourselves. We adapt to our surroundings. I can tell you it takes under a week to assimilate to the vernacular of a certain group. I was 15 years old and I spent a week for a two-week meeting in Lee Summit. And before the end of the week, I was using such words as, that's tight, you know, that's cool or whatever. I even thought it was weird at the beginning of the week, and you hear it so much, and pretty soon you say it yourself. When we're around a group that finds evil deeds entertaining, soon we may find that evil deeds entertain us. With things like this to work against us, how can we even hope to succeed in the task that God has set before us? How can we go into the world and not come home with dirt on our shoes? It starts with identifying things that are going to be an issue. You know that swearing is wrong, so maybe you take extra caution not to bring that home. And those dirty jokes you and your colleagues can't seem to help but laugh at are most certainly inappropriate for your children, so you leave them behind as well. Those are pretty obvious things, along with recognizing that just because everyone else thinks abortion's okay and homosexuality is acceptable doesn't make them right. Society affects us in other ways, however, that are infinitely more subtle. As I go through some of them, I'd like you to ask yourself what's important to you. What kind of life do you want to lead? What do you want to be important to your children in the future? Again, I'd like to emphasize that a lot of these things I'm going to be discussing aren't bad in and of themselves. It's just that when we allow them to take precedence in our lives over godliness, we run into problems. The first thing I'd like to talk about is school. And school for me means college. Society says that everyone ought to go to school. Everyone needs an education. They value a good education more than anything else in the world. Seems today, young girls especially, are pressured to continue their education, to become all they can be. When they see that kind of pressure their entire life, they'll end up doing, and this isn't true for everyone, but they will end up doing what everyone says they should. The result is independent women, women who need no man, who are not ready to settle down anytime in the near future. The result is people who will put their career before anything and everything else. Does that sound at all like what God desires of us? I don't think so. So 1 Timothy 2:15 says that women are saved in childbearing as long as they continue in faith, charity, and holiness with sobriety. Titus, the second chapter, verses 3 through 5, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Again, I'm not saying that women should not work or that women should not go to college. But what I am saying is, where do we put this in the precedence? How do we emphasize this with our children? All through elementary, it was, oh, you got to get good grades, you got to do good in school so that you can get into college. And it was emphasized so much that pretty soon college was all that mattered. Is being a homemaker demeaning? Society says so. I hope none of you think so. The keeping of the home and the raising of children is the noblest cause I have ever come upon. To teach young ones the ways of the Lord, to teach them how to make their way in this world, is truly honorable. Young men are also pushed to go to school, though not so much, I think, as girls today are. A young man should be able to provide for his family. It is his responsibility from God. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel." But he should not be pressured to go to school. College is a rough environment. Granted, I've learned a lot since moving down south here, but I also struggle with more than what is necessary. I'm not the Christian I ought to be simply because school has to rate so highly on my priority list, or I won't pass my classes. There are many different paths to success, and my point in this little area is that I just think our energies as influences in our children's lives could be better spent encouraging them to grow in Christ more than to grow in temporal knowledge. Another point, I know that Rick Sparks definitely encourages people to go to school to learn all that they can know. And there is value in that, because when you have educated people as Christians, people can't go around saying, well, the dummies are the ones that are in church, because they don't have any idea of science or how foolish their beliefs are. So there is a value in being educated, for sure, and I'm not speaking against college. Careers. Again, society says what matters most is the paycheck. We know that that is not true. There are things that a Christian might ought to consider before choosing a profession. A person might consider the type of people they'll have to be around on a day-to-day basis, or whether or not they'll get to come home and be a parent to their children every night, or whether or not the profession in question will allow you to worship God and attend services. I think sometimes, I'm going to emphasize making services here. Sometimes we can overemphasize that, I think. Sometimes we get to be more like the Pharisee when we emphasize the works, doing these things, and then we don't emphasize the heart. But I am going to emphasize making the services because it is important. I think we need to emphasize everything across the board rather than just, here, let me go through the actions and I'm doing real good and then my heart's not right. I think sometimes we're guilty of that. But making the services is important. I stand up here and say that when I hardly ever go to church on Sunday and Wednesday nights at school. But let's read Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verses 22 through 25. In Hebrews it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Most importantly, perhaps, when considering a career and encouraging our children in a certain direction, is that everything we do should be to God's glory. When I choose my profession, when I go to work every day, am I going to be able to glorify God in what I'm doing? Am I going to be able to glorify God in the situations that I put myself in? I think we always can, but I think sometimes, some professions, it would be easier than others. There's also a train of thought that is poisonous, that comes from society, I think. Society would have you to believe that there are many right ways, many truths, and many paths to the same goal. For me, this is an easy thing to fall into. We as human beings hate being wrong, and me myself, I hate telling others that they are wrong. If I know that there's a cliff ahead of you and you're walking and I say, all right, look, there's a cliff up here, be careful, and you are insistent that you know where you're going, I'm going to try and, rather than stop you, I'm probably going to follow right behind you and see if I can't catch you as you're falling off. That's just the way I am. I hate telling people that they are wrong. It's so much easier to say that everyone is right in their own world and that no one is wrong. We must resist this corrosive school of thought. We know that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that there is only one way to the Father, and that is through Him. The only way to worship our Lord is the way that He has commanded. Society today is too accepting of a lot of things. Before we beat homosexuality to death, this was also my talk. It was too accepting of homosexuality. This is an issue we must address with the young ones too, because believe me, it's all too easy to grow callous. And at least in my high school and college, there's been a huge push for acceptance, and the ungrounded are easily swayed. Skewed priorities. This one's also a touchy one. But I will speak on it because I've seen so much harm caused when things weren't handled quite right. Sports and extracurricular activities. This is an interesting one. It's especially harmful to rural congregations like the one I grew up in. Involvement in extracurricular activities has its place. Extracurriculars build social skills, leadership skills, and teach life lessons, all of which are good and important things. The question is, what do you want to be the most important thing in your child's life? God or his or her sport? When you run your children to all their sports games and are always in the stands cheering for them, and you aren't careful to bring them to church, and you don't show up in the pews to support them, they will see that your approval is earned by their performance and not by their spiritual growth. It's important that church comes before your children's extracurriculars. Your children should see that the church and serving God is what is important to you and what should be important to them. If you think about it for a second, how many hours do you suppose you spend? How much money do you suppose you spend on your child's sport? I highly doubt you all have them itemized. Maybe you do. But if you did, you might be appalled. How much time, how much effort do you spend on your children's spiritual lives? Do they know biblical concepts before they come to church? Or do you expect the teachers here in this class to carry them and through their spiritual lives, and then once they're gone from church, they're done? Is that what we expect? How much time is spent on learning memory verses and talking about Christianity and talking about what God would have us to do in this situation, compared to how much time that we spend running to practice and running to games? And I've seen many of my friends. There was a family that I went to church with that one is no longer a member, and the other three are the subject of much concern. And this is something I saw that their folks did. They were real careful to show up to every game. They didn't miss a one. But they were not careful at all when it came to the services. Money. What is more important than anything else in our society? I think it's money, and with it, our social rank. There's a lot of devotion to gaining physical possessions. We remember that we cannot take our possessions with us, and yet we devote so much time to getting and gaining. It's a lesson I learned as a child. I don't know if it's one my father taught me. I don't think it is, necessarily. But even as a child, I wanted to grow our farm. I wanted to make it bigger so I could do better for myself, so I could give my children a better life than what I had, and so that they could start with something when they were ready to take over, so they'd have something that they could live off of. I think that's probably true of many of us. We want better for our children than what we had as children. We live in a materialistic society where our worth is judged by our paycheck, by our education, and our vast stores of physical possessions. I want to read something to you written by the richest man who ever lived. He's also the wisest man who ever lived, so he can say a lot better than I can. Ecclesiastes, the second chapter. I said to myself, "Come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good." But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is madness. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heaven during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers and a harem as well. Delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done, and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom, and also madness and folly. What more can the king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise have eyes in their heads, while the fools walk in the darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I said to myself, "The fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise?" I said to myself, "This too is meaningless. For the wise, like the fool, will not be long remembered. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise too must die. So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with all wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days their work is grief and pain. Even at night their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without Him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases Him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, He gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I guess the question I really mean to ask is, where are your priorities? And where are mine? What is important? Do we serve God or do we serve ourselves? Where do we amass our wealth? Is it here on earth where we're going to leave everything behind? Where fire and brimstone will come and melt even the elements? Or is it in heaven, where moth and rust doesn't corrupt or destroy? Where we have the opportunity to spend eternity with our Lord. Just remember to always go to God for the answers. God knows best, for we and all our wisdom are still just humans and therefore fools. Society has its ideas on how things should go, how things should be, and on what is important. Remember that God and being in His service is what is truly important, and that there are things that our society promotes that can take away from our service to God, as well as, I believe, our own happiness. What God says is right for all time. What we think is right at the time is often proven naive on down the road. A lesson in and of itself is being spiritually minded. And if we go through life worshiping God and spirit and in truth because He's a spirit, then I think we can't go wrong. One thing that God says is right is for us to be baptized, to be washed from our sins so that we can have a relationship with Him. If you have that need or any other, we'd ask that you come forward at this time as we stand, as we sing.
Verses 1, 2, and 4, please.